You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Imagine a quiet Thanksgiving day in a small Minnesota town where the scent of autumn leaves lingers in the crisp air. A retired man, living alone in his modest home, has grown weary of the shadows that seem to creep closer with each passing night. Burglaries have plagued him, stripping away not just possessions, but his sense of security. On this holiday, when most are gathered with family, he finds himself facing intruders once more. But what unfolds in the dim basement of his house blurs the line between self-defense and something far darker. Tonight, on True Crime Sleep Stories, we delve into the haunting case of the 2012 Thanksgiving murders in Little Falls, Minnesota, a story that raises profound questions about fear, justice, and the limits of protecting one's home. Before we slip into tonight's tale, I want to take a moment to thank you, our listeners, for joining us in these shadowy corners of true crime. If you're finding solace or chills in true crime sleep stories, please consider leaving a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. It helps us connect with more night owls like you and ensures these gripping stories keep flowing. And if you're ready to dive deeper, become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/KellyBrink. There, you'll unlock ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus material to satisfy your true crime cravings. Now, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors before we immerse ourselves in tonight's uninterrupted narrative. We'll be right back.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Welcome back to True Crime Sleep Stories. Now, find a cozy spot, dim the lights, and let the world fade away as I weave this tale for you. Close your eyes if you dare, and allow the story to unfold like a dream. Or perhaps a nightmare. In the heart of Morrison County, Minnesota, lies the small town of Little Falls, a place where the Mississippi River winds lazily through, and life moves at a gentle pace. With a population hovering around 8,000, it's the kind of community where neighbors wave from porches and doors are often left unlocked. But for Byron David Smith, a 64-year-old retired security engineer for the U.S. State Department, that sense of safety had eroded long before Thanksgiving Day, 2012. Smith had dedicated his career to protecting American embassies abroad from threats like terrorists and spies. He'd traveled the world, installing sophisticated security systems in high-risk locations. Now, in retirement, he'd settled into a quiet life in his two-story home on Elm Street. Yes, Elm Street, the same name that haunts horror fans from A Nightmare on Elm Street. A coincidence that feels almost too fitting given the real-life nightmare about to unfold beneath its roof, surrounded by woods and a serene river view. But tranquility eluded him. Over the preceding months, his house had been targeted by burglars not once, not twice, but multiple times. At least six reported incidents in the year leading up to that fateful holiday. The intrusions started small, but grew bolder. Valuables vanished. Cash, electronics, even sentimental items like his father's World War II prisoner of war watch and medals from his own military service. Smith reported each break-in to the local authorities, but felt his pleas fell on deaf ears. The Morrison County Sheriff's Office investigated, but with limited resources in a rural area, leads dried up. Frustration mounted. Smith installed a security camera system, began carrying a loaded gun inside his home, and even started sleeping with a tarp nearby, just in case. He confided in neighbors about his fears, describing how the repeated violations left him feeling vulnerable and violated. One neighbor recalled Smith saying he was fed up and worried the burglars might escalate to violence. Evidence would later suggest that two local teenagers, cousins Nicholas Brady, 17, and Haley Kiefer, 18, were involved in at least one prior burglary at Smith's home. The day before Thanksgiving on November 21st, 2012, Smith's house was hit again. Items were stolen, and footprints in the snow matched shoes later found on the teens. Autopsies and investigations linked them to the scene through physical evidence, including a vehicle seen nearby. Nick and Haley came from troubled backgrounds. Nick had a history of petty thefts, and both were known in the community for dabbling in minor crimes, reportedly to fund social activities like parties. But on that Thanksgiving morning, as families across America prepared turkey and pies, the cousins set out on what would be their final outing. Smith, alone for the holiday, noticed suspicious activity early that day. He spotted a car driving slowly past his property multiple times, a red or maroon vehicle that matched one owned by a relative of the teens. Paranoid from the recent spate of break-ins, Smith decided to prepare. He moved his own truck away from the house to a nearby workshop, creating the illusion that no one was home. Then he descended into his basement, a dimly lit space with bookshelves, a workbench, and now his chosen vantage point. Armed with a Ruger Mini 14 rifle, he positioned himself in a chair behind a barricade of books and boxes. He had bottles of water and energy bars at hand, as if anticipating a siege. Most chillingly, he activated audio and video recording devices, capturing over 6 hours of footage that would later become central to the case. The basement was silent except for the hum of the recorder. Smith waited, his mind racing with the accumulated anger and fear from months of victimization. Around 12:30 p.m., the first intruder arrived. Nick Brady, a high school senior with a lanky build and dreams of becoming a mechanic, approached the house. He broke a window on the main floor and climbed inside, unaware of the trap below. As Nick descended the basement stairs, calling out tentatively, perhaps looking for valuables or checking if the coast was clear, Smith fired. The first shot struck Nick in the chest, sending him tumbling down the stairs. Smith fired again, hitting him in the back. Nick lay wounded on the floor, gasping. What happened next crossed a threshold. Smith approached the fallen teen and delivered a final shot to Nick's head. On the audio recording, Smith's voice is calm, almost detached. "You're dead." He then dragged Nick's body across the floor, wrapped it in a tarp to contain the blood, and placed it out of sight in a workshop area. He reloaded his weapons and resumed his wait, muttering to himself about the intruders being like vermin. About 10 to 15 minutes later, Haley Kiefer entered the home through the same broken window. The 18-year-old, described by friends as outgoing and artistic, with long dark hair and a bright smile, called out for her cousin, Nick. As she too descended the basement stairs, Smith opened fire again. The initial shot hit her in the hip, causing her to fall down the steps with a cry of pain. "Oh, sorry about that," Smith said sarcastically on the tape, as if mocking her tumble. Haley, now on the floor and wounded, pleaded, "I'm sorry." She screamed in agony as Smith fired multiple times into her torso. The shots were not quick. They were deliberate. Haley twitched and gasped, clearly no longer a threat. Yet Smith dragged her body next to Nick's, placed the revolver under her chin, and fired a final, finishing shot. His recorded words were haunting. "You're dying." He later referred to her as "bitch" and expressed no remorse in his monologue, viewing the act as cleaning up a mess and fulfilling a civic duty. The autopsies confirmed the brutality. Nick had been shot 3 times, Haley 6 times, with toxicology reports showing traces of marijuana and a painkiller in their systems, but nothing that altered the facts of the intrusion. Smith did not call the police immediately. Instead, he cleaned up, moved the bodies further, and spent the rest of the day in his home. It wasn't until the next morning, November 23rd, that he contacted a neighbor who advised him to call his attorney. Only then did authorities arrive. Smith led them to the basement where the bodies lay wrapped in tarps. He cooperated fully, handing over the recordings and admitting to the shootings. But his statements to investigators were telling. He confessed to firing more shots than I needed to, and explained that he didn't want to bother law enforcement on a holiday. The case exploded into public consciousness. Morrison County Sheriff Michael Wetzel held a press conference emphasizing that while homeowners have rights, the law doesn't permit you to execute somebody once a threat is gone. Smith was initially charged with 2 counts of second-degree murder, but a grand jury upgraded them to first-degree premeditated murder in April 2013. The evidence was damning. The recordings painted a picture not of panicked self-defense, but of calculated ambush and excessive force. As the trial approached in April 2014, the small town of Little Falls was divided. Some residents sympathized with Smith, seeing him as a victim pushed to the brink by repeated burglaries and inadequate police response. "He was terrorized in his own home," one supporter argued. Others were horrified by the audio, which captured Smith's cold demeanor and taunts. The teens, though intruders, were unarmed and young, products of a community struggling with youth issues like drug use and boredom. No one disputed the burglary, but the question loomed, when does protection become vengeance? Under Minnesota's Castle Doctrine, deadly force is permissible in one's home to prevent a felony like burglary or to stop imminent great bodily harm. Legal experts agreed the initial shots might have been justified. Smith reasonably feared for his life as strangers entered his domain. But the subsequent firings, after the teens were down and incapacitated, veered into execution territory. As Hamline University law professor Joseph Olson noted, self-defense ends when the threat does. You can't finish them off. Prosecutors argued premeditation. Smith had lain in wait, darkened the house by removing light bulbs, and rehearsed lines on tape, like, in your left eye, which eerily foreshadowed a shot to Haley. The defense portrayed him as a frightened elderly man, scarred by prior break-ins, who acted out of necessity. But the jury, after hearing the graphic recordings and viewing crime scene photos, deliberated for just 3 hours. On April 29, 2014, they found Smith guilty on all counts. He was sentenced to 2 concurrent life terms without parole. Appeals followed. The Minnesota Supreme Court upheld the conviction in 2016, rejecting arguments about jury instructions and evidence exclusion. Federal appeals were denied in 2018 and 2020, and in March 2021, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear the case, ending Smith's legal battles. He remains incarcerated, but the story hasn't faded. In recent years, from 2023 to 2025, Smith has filed civil lawsuits against investigators and authors over books like Murder on Elm Street, claiming defamation and seeking to control the narrative of his actions. This case forces us to confront uncomfortable themes. How far can fear drive a person before it warps into something unforgivable? In a society where home invasions instill terror, where do we draw the line on self-protection? Minnesota's laws aim to balance rights, but Smith's story illustrates the peril of excess. The teens' choices led them to that basement, but the response they met raises questions about proportionality and humanity. What if authorities had cracked the prior burglaries sooner? Could intervention have prevented this tragedy? These queries linger, echoing in the quiet nights of Little Falls. In the end, the Thanksgiving 2012 murders of Nick Brady and Haley Kiefer by Byron Smith remain a stark reminder of how vulnerability can breed desperation, and desperation can lead to irreversible acts. Smith, once a guardian of security overseas, became a figure of controversy at home, convicted of premeditated murder for exceeding the bounds of defense. The case sparked nationwide debates on gun rights, castle doctrines, and the reasonable person standard, challenging us to ponder, when does safeguarding one's sanctuary turn into a snare? As we close this chapter, remember that true crime isn't just about the darkness. It's about the lessons that light the way forward. True Crime Sleep Stories is hosted and created by Kelly Brink, produced with the support of our dedicated team. Subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast platform to help us keep telling these haunting tales. Visit patreon.com/KellyBrink for exclusive content and to join our community. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet you in the shadows next time. Until then, stay safe out there and lock your doors. Good night.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.